flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours, and ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge.
Come away with me, Lucille, in my merry old mobile.
Down the road of life we'll fly, awesome old bubbling, you and I.
And to the church we'll swiftly steal, then our wedding bells will peal.
You can go as far as you like with me
in my merry Oldsmobile. If you want to see a car that's really full of sex appeal,
if you please,
come out riding in my jazzy, jazzy Oldsmobile.
Oh, you kid.
And if I just feel like you to tell me that you won't be busted,
don't get too big for your goggles and you're in the dusty buster.
On the menu of romance, you are my very favorite course.
Oh, skidoo, with that corny line of yours, you really ought to get a horse.
No, it's too hard to like the pretty wedding ring.
Well, now, that's a very different thing.
In my merry old moon.
What a happy pair without a single care.
Merry old moon.
What a grand machine, a double peachy keen.
Merry old moon.
It's hydromatic, just like you.
What do you mean?
Why, the car is shiftless, too.
There's no clutch.
Well, what about me?
Ah, when I park, both hands will be free.
And not for long.
What a body. It's all streamlined.
Thank you.
With a little spare tire behind.
We
go hand in glove down the road of love in my merry old mo.
L-O-V-E.
In my merry old mo.
O-U-Q-T.
In our merry old mobile.
This is Bruce Kaplan welcoming you back to another episode of Radio Masterpieces, where each week you'll hear the best of the old-time mysteries of the 1940s and 50s. Tonight is going to be no exception. We begin with a wonderful show from the Gangbusters series. Gangbusters was always based on true crimes, and the crime tonight actually really happened. Then we're going to continue on with the fictional Dick Powell in Richard Diamond, Private Eye. Dick Powell originally started out as a song and dance man in the 1930s in shows like 42nd Street. But boy, after he did Murder My Sweet in 1944, he really bounced into the big time as far as the mystery genre was concerned. If you have any questions for me, please don't hesitate to write to Bruce at RadioMasterpieces.com. Again, just have a fantastic weekend. Thank you so much for tuning in.
Gangbusters, presented in cooperation with police and federal law enforcement departments throughout the United States. The only national program that brings you authentic police case histories. Presents the case of the date with death, when murder linked an old coat, a woman in the rain, and angry police officers out to avenge a slain comrade.
Gangbusters has asked the Honorable M. Joseph Wallace, Chief Inspector, Baltimore City Police Department, to narrate by proxy tonight's case. Chief Inspector Wallace.
Thank you, and good evening, Gangbusters listeners. Suppose we begin tonight's case on a Sunday afternoon in late November 1947. A huge crowd had gathered in the Baltimore Municipal Stadium to watch the Baltimore Colts in a professional football game. The weather had been threatening all afternoon, and during the third quarter, the skies opened up. Many of the fans scurried out of the rain for cover beneath the stands. One of these was an attractive young woman who ran down a ramp toward the first shelter where a man was standing.
Is there room in there?
Room enough.
Oh, thanks. Oh, football.
The greatest game in the world.
Maybe on television. Look at my hair.
It's very nice.
Nice and wet. 50,000 idiots. 50,000 idiots watching a few men dribble a ball up and down out there in the pouring rain.
How about a cigarette?
Yes. Thanks.
Light?
Thanks.
Yes. Very nice.
What?
Your hair.
Oh. See it in pin curls.
I'd love to.
Well, thanks for the cigarette.
So you're not going back into the pouring rain, are you?
Oh, well, I've got a date out there.
He's more interested in football than in you.
Looks that way.
Not very smart, is he?
He just likes football.
What do you say you and me find some place to have a drink? Hmm?
Oh, I couldn't run out on him.
You won't even miss him.
How do you know I won't miss him?
Well, that's another story.
Do you know of some place nearby where we can get a drink?
Sure.
I suppose we should have been introduced properly.
I'll introduce us. My name is Wood, Roy Wood.
Very pleased to meet you, Mr. Wood.
Roy.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Roy. I'm Helen.
Just Helen? That's nice.
Helen Denny.
Well, what are we standing here for? Shall we go?
Okay, why not? Oh, football.
You see, I told you I'd find a place where we could have a drink.
Well, here's to the Baltimore Colts. May they be victorious, wet or dry.
Say, what made you run out of the rain and right into me?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe that's the way it was meant.
Yeah, it was meant, Helen. You and me, we were meant.
Looks that way, doesn't it?
It is that way. You know it.
Boy, how crazy can we get? Known each other 20 minutes.
I couldn't be the liquor. We haven't even finished our first drink yet.
What is it? You know, this is funny. I'm 28 years old, and I feel like a schoolgirl. Like a kid in saddle shoes.
You want to hear how I feel?
I hope I know.
You do, baby.
Tell me all about yourself. Where do you live? What do you do? Everything.
Oh, I live out on 33rd.
You do? Mm-hmm. I live out that way myself, on Pratt near Broadway.
We're practically neighbors. It's made to order.
Well, what do you do? For a living, I mean.
Oh, odd jobs.
What do you mean, odd jobs?
Oh, just that. I don't believe in tying myself down from 9 to 5 every day. When I need money, I work for it.
Oh.
You look a little bit disappointed.
Well, I just took it for granted that everybody had a job.
Well, let's just say that I'm more in the professional line. If there's anything I need, I just get it.
Nice to be able to get anything you need.
Is there anything you need, honey?
Nothing I can think of right now.
Well, don't let it worry you, Helen. I get along.
I'm sure you do. I think it stopped raining now.
Well, then we'll celebrate. We'll have another drink, huh?
All right, Roy. Let's have another drink.
Waiter. Waiter. Hey, waiter.
Well, Gangbusters listeners, during the next few weeks that Roy Wood and Helen Denny became better acquainted, he was the subject of considerable thought in another part of Baltimore. But the man thinking about Roy Wood was not so fortunate as Helen Denny. He knew neither Wood's name nor his whereabouts. He was Detective Lieutenant George G. Bryan of the Baltimore Police Department. And as he sat at his desk one afternoon, the door to his office opened.
Hello, Lieutenant. Oh, Sergeant Mayor, come in here. I want to talk to you. I thought you swore you'd take a Sunday or two off.
Well, not this Sunday, Sergeant. Sit down.
Thanks.
How was Cleveland?
We got a conviction.
Yeah, I read about it. Well, are you ready to go to work?
Have you got trouble?
Yeah. Some stick-ups out of North Baltimore. Cab drivers. 7 of them so far. Between 9 o'clock at night and 2-3 in the morning, this boy hops in a cab, asks to be taken someplace, puts a gun on the driver.
Only in North Baltimore?
So far, only in North Baltimore.
Huh. Any information on him, Lieutenant?
Only the description given by the victims. 25 to 30, 5'8 or 9, 150 to 60 pounds, good-looking, dresses well.
I see. Want me to get on it?
Yep. Have a look at the report, Sergeant, and, the uniform men out there are pretty much on the watch for this boy. They're taking a good look at every taxi cab in the street at night. Talk to the uniform commander out in Northeast tonight. Maybe you can be of some help to each other.
Taxi! Hey, taxi!
Hop in, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, what a night.
Yeah, it looks like we're in for a big snow tonight. Thank heavens I'm through in another hour. Boy, I hate to drive in that snow. Old man Winter should drop dead. Where to?
Almeda and 33rd.
Right. Yeah, every winter I say to myself, Ernie, they got taxi cabs in Florida. Go to Miami, get yourself a job for the winter. Will you ever do it? Look at me. I got flat feet. Did you ever hear of anybody getting flat feet pushing a hack? I
shut up.
What?
Look, mister, I don't want any more talk out of you. All I want is your dough. I'll keep your eye on the street, but remember, this is a gun sticking in your back.
Well, take it easy now.
You take it easy if you ever want to get to Miami. Where's your dough?
Right here in this pocket.
Keep your hands on the wheel. I'll reach for it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the pocket.
That's all you got?
Well, look, I had a bad night. It ain't my fault I had a bad night. Want me to pull over so you can get out now?
Almeda and 33rd.
Yeah, Almeda and 33rd. I hate to remark about it now, buddy, but in my rearview mirror, it comes up a squad car. You know, cops.
Just keep on driving.
Yeah. They're still there.
I see them.
There's a red light down there. You want me to stop for the red light or go on through?
Stop for it.
Yeah. Right alongside. They're pulling right alongside.
Don't give them any high sign.
I won't. Not me. Uh-oh, one of them's getting out to have a look. Here he comes.
Keep your mouth shut.
Okay, okay.
Is everything all right, driver?
Yeah, officer, I...
You.
Me?
Step out of there. Let me have a look at you.
Huh. It's snowing, officer.
Step out here.
Oh, all right. Have a look at this.
Hey! Oh, stop that man! Stop him! I got a gun! Come on, now, let's go! Come on! I'm right with you.
Yes? Who is it?
It's me, honey. Roy, let me in.
Roy, it's after 2 in the morning.
Please, let me in, please.
All right.
Thanks, Helen. Thanks a lot.
What's the matter with you, Roy?
Never mind, I'll be all right.
Where's your coat? You should have more sense than to go out on a night like this without your coat.
I should have had more sense than to go out, period.
What's the matter with you, Roy?
Don't you have any idea...
When you wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning and practically break into my room, I don't care for riddles. I'm entitled to an explanation.
Helen, you love me?
What's that got to do with it?
It's got plenty to do with it.
All I want is a reasonable explanation.
All right. You hear those sirens? That's your explanation.
You're in trouble.
You bet I'm in trouble.
I'm sure you can straighten it out.
Not this kind of trouble you can't straighten out.
Were you in a fight?
Sort of a fight, yeah. Only worse.
What happened?
They were chasing me. It's a break. You live right in the neighborhood. They're probably looking for me on the street right downstairs.
Not the police.
Now, who else do you think?
Oh, Roy.
That's not that much of a shock, Helen. You know it.
Yes, Roy, I know it.
Look, you let me stay a while, won't you, baby? Let me stay here?
Yes. As long as you want.
Good girl. Now, look, there's something you have to do for me.
What?
My overcoat. I couldn't run with it. I threw it in the alley next to the tavern around the corner. I want you to get dressed and go get it for me.
But Roy...
Please, honey, if they find the coat, they can find me. They have ways. Please, baby, if you love me.
All right. I'll get dressed.
Lieutenant Bryan.
Hello, Lieutenant. Sergeant Mayer.
Patrolman Benedict was dead on arrival at the hospital.
Yeah, we heard, Lieutenant.
Any sign of this man out there, Sergeant?
No, he probably ducked in someplace. But we found an overcoat in an alley off Pratt Street. It might be his. He might have shed it to make better time running.
Well, that may be a break, Sergeant. Bring the coat in here right away.
Well, gangbusters listeners, Baltimore detectives finally had their first tangible lead toward the identity of the holdup man, Roy Wood. But, unfortunately, it didn't come until the holdup man became the murderer of a policeman. Detectives still had a long way to travel in the case, but they were able to take shortcuts because of a news vendor and a curt telegram. It was about an hour later when the girl, Helen, came in the front door of her house and walked down the hall toward her room where the killer, Roy Wood, was waiting.
Back. I thought you...
The coat. Where's the coat?
I looked in the alley, Roy. It wasn't there.
I guess they got it. I guess the cops picked it up.
Roy.
Huh?
You killed that policeman, didn't you?
Listen, baby.
Did you or didn't you?
Yeah, it was me.
The whole neighborhood is up. There are police cars all over.
Listen, honey. You won't say anything to anybody about this, will you?
How could you do it, Roy?
I did it, that's all. You won't say anything, will you?
Why didn't you leave me alone? Why'd you have to bring me all this?
Baby, I love you. You know what'll happen if they get me, you know, don't you?
You weren't fair to me, Roy. You should have let me know what I was getting into.
I know I should have, but I didn't. Honey, you won't say anything, will you?
No, Roy. I won't say anything.
Thanks, Helen. Thanks a lot.
What are you going to do, Roy?
I don't know. I got to think.
They got the coat. You said they might be able to find you through the coat.
Yeah. I'll have to get out of town for a little while. I better go back to my room now and get some things.
But, Roy, the streets are full of policemen. If they see somebody without an overcoat...
Yeah, that's right. Can I stay here a little while longer?
All right. But you mustn't go back to your room, Roy. You mustn't go back at all.
Hey, Johnny. Lieutenant in there?
Yeah, he's in there, Sergeant.
Thanks. Hello, Lieutenant.
Come in, Sergeant.
Well, I guess we can put this overcoat in cold storage.
No luck, huh?
I traced it from the manufacturer to the retailer, the United on Fayette Street. They keep records of names and addresses of customers only when there's alterations. No alterations on this coat.
Well, how about their memory? Doesn't anybody there have a good memory?
Yeah, they remember having coats of this style in stock. That's about all. Nobody remembers selling this one.
Any cleaner's marks in it?
Nah, the coat's never been cleaned. Well, we at least know the guy is a perfect 40.
Sergeant.
Yeah?
It's pretty much of a sure thing this guy lives or did live in North Baltimore.
From the way he operated, yeah.
You want to waste a little time?
How?
Well, if he does live in North Baltimore someplace, there's somebody that's seen him and knows him. I think we ought to take this coat and visit every store and bar between Monroe and Hanover north of Franklin. The coat's not the most ordinary ever made. Maybe somebody will recognize it and know the guy.
Maybe.
Don't you think it's worth it?
Sure, Lieutenant. I think it's worth it. Anything's worth it.
Sun, News Pope, Ollie, what do you read? Sun, News Pope, hey, buddy.
No, not just now. I'm a police officer.
Yeah? Sun, News Pope, what do you read? What do you read, paper?
Hey, look, the shopkeepers around here tell me you know most everybody in the neighborhood.
They can read, I know. Sun, News Pope, Ollie.
You know the owner of this coat?
That coat there?
Yeah.
I don't look at people's coats. Hey, that could be Roy's.
Roy? Roy who?
How should I know Roy who? He buys the paper from me once in a while. They call him Roy.
Who calls him Roy?
The guys. He hangs on that bar down the street, Casey's.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
For what? What do you read? Paper all late, son, folks. What do you read?
Hey, bartender.
Yeah? What'll it be?
Are you Casey?
I am.
I'm from the police department.
Oh, well. Yeah, have a drink on the house.
You got a customer, Roy?
I got lots of customers. Some of them's named Roy.
The Roy that belongs to this cult.
Sweet suffering chipmunks. What's happened to Roy?
Nothing yet.
Well, he ain't been in here in a week.
What's Roy's other name?
Roy Wood, Woods, something like that. What's the matter with him?
Is he about 25 to 30 years old? 5'8" or 9", weighs about 160?
Yeah, that's him.
Where does he live?
I don't know exactly. Over on 33rd someplace, but he ain't been in here in a week. Sweet suffering chipmunks, what's he got himself into?
Who knows? We just want to have a little talk with him. Thanks, Casey. Thanks a lot.
Deposit 45 cents, please.
Yeah. Here you are.
There's your party.
Helen?
Yes, Roy. How are you?
Miserable, baby.
Me too.
Honey, listen. Nobody's been around to see you. You know who I mean.
No, nobody's been around.
Oh, good. I guess everything's okay then. I'm coming back to Baltimore.
I don't know, Roy. It's too soon.
I've got to come back.
Roy.
I know what I'm doing, baby. I'll be in touch with you.
All right, Roy. Bye.
Bye, honey.
Why, you gentlemen are certainly mistaken. Roy Wood is a fine young man. I wouldn't have rented a room to him unless he was a fine young man.
But he hasn't been home in a week.
I told you he's a fine young man.
Mrs. Porter, you're positive this is his coat?
Well, I can't be positive, but he has one like it.
It wasn't in his room.
Well, if he went away, he must have taken the coat with him.
You say that Roy never brought any friends here?
Never.
You never saw any of his friends?
No. I asked him not to have company, and he didn't. He's a very respectable young man.
Well, what about women? Did you ever see him with any women?
No, I never saw him with any women. But those that he did go out with were very nice girls.
How do you know they were very nice girls?
Well, this last one, she sounded like a very nice young lady over the phone.
You spoke to her?
Of course, several times. I took messages for Roy.
What kind of messages?
Well, this girl, this Helen, she called and left a number 2 or 3 times. She sounded like a very nice girl.
What'd you do with the number?
Well, now, what would I do with the telephone number? I scratched it on the telephone book.
May we see the telephone book, Mrs. Porter?
If you insist, this way.
Thank you.
But Roy Wood is a fine young man, a very fine young man.
Here she is, Lieutenant. Lieutenant Bryan, Helen Denny.
Sit down, Miss Denny.
You have no right to drag me down here to the police station and keep me waiting so long. I think I'm entitled to some explanation.
She says she hasn't seen Roy Wood in a week.
That's true.
Exactly how many times did you see Roy Wood altogether?
I don't know. I didn't stop to count.
You heard from him in the last week?
No, I haven't heard from him.
Where is he now?
I told you, I don't know. I don't know.
Do you know what we want him for?
No.
We think he killed a policeman.
That's not so.
We wish it weren't. Now, the more you try to cover up for him, the more trouble you're going to get yourself into, young lady.
I'm not trying to cover up because there's nothing to cover up.
All right. I know you've been in touch with Roy Wood.
Please.
I know it. Matter of fact, while the sergeant was bringing you down here, a Western Union messenger boy knocked on your door. You didn't know that we have a couple of men watching your house day and night, did you?
I don't know anything.
And that Western Union messenger boy, when there wasn't any answer, he slipped a telegram under your door. Would you like to read it? Yeah. Go on, open it up, Ellen. And you still tell me you haven't been in touch with Roy?
All right. I just don't want to see him hurt. That's all. I don't want to see him hurt.
If you don't want to see him hurt or anybody else, then you'll help us.
How?
He sent you a wire to meet him on the corner of Broadway and Pratt tonight. You will meet him.
Please. Can't you do it some other way? Do you have to get me involved in it?
You said you didn't want to see him hurt. This is the easiest way we can take him. For him, for us, and for you.
But I... All right. What do you want me to do?
You go home now. You wait until 8:10. Then you'll walk out the front door. You'll walk down Pratt Street to Broadway. Then you'll stand on the corner in front of the drugstore.
Please, Lieutenant,
you'll stand on the corner in front of the drugstore. We don't know whether he'll drive or take a cab or walk, but we do know for sure he's got a gun on him. We'll be all around there. and Roy Wood shows up, you'll drop your purse.
Drop my purse?
That's the sign to us that it is Roy Wood. I'm warning you, Helen, there'll be our men all around. You don't want to see Roy hurt. He won't get hurt if you carry off your part as you're supposed to.
At precisely 8:15 that night, the girl, Helen, waited in front of the drugstore on the busy corner of Broadway and Pratt. The eyes of several teams of detectives were fastened on the approaches to the intersection, waiting for Roy Wood to appear. As the minutes passed, she stood firm, until finally she saw the fugitive crossing the street.
Hello, honey. How are you?
Hello, Roy.
Well, what's the matter? Are you glad to see me?
Yes, I am glad.
Look, I've got a car parked on the block. Let's go, huh?
Roy, listen to me.
Well, come on, come on. We can't stand here all night.
Roy, I don't want to see you hurt.
I won't. Here, I'll pick up your purse.
No, that's all right. I think it's best, Roy. I really do.
You think what's best?
All right, well, don't make a move.
Hey, what are you...
For police officer.
Let me go, will you?
Hold still there.
Uh-huh. Is this the gun you used to kill him?
You turned me in, didn't you, you little
no,
rotten...
No, Roy. Honest, I didn't. I just didn't want you hurt.
Go on home.
Don't you worry about her, Wood. You just come with us.
That, Gangbusters listeners, was exactly how this killer was taken by detectives of the Baltimore Police Department. He was placed on trial a short time later and convicted of first-degree murder. Roy Wood is now in a death cell at the Maryland State Penitentiary, awaiting hanging.
Thank you, Chief Inspector M. Joseph Wallace, and congratulations to Captain of Detectives Henry J. Criss and all the officers who participated in the investigation leading to the arrest of this killer.
I got a beef. I went shopping for my girl, Helen Asher, the other day. You know, stuff for dinner. This town's gotten hotter than a blast furnace in Death Valley, so you gotta pick out things that make for a cool meal. Like salads, cold cuts, beer. Real picnic style. Well, I figured I could whip up a fancy tossed salad or something. Until I got around to the tomato counter. Have you glommed onto the price of tomatoes lately? Now, what's with that? So the cost of living is inflated. So a T-bone makes like it just arrived direct from the Sultan's classiest cow. Okay, a T-bone, I can understand. But what's with a tomato? When it costs so much, it should be hanging from a charm bracelet instead of lying in a salad bowl. Who needs it? So I bowed from the waist and figured you could still do a lot of things with a plain head of lettuce. Oh, I got another beef, too. Why can't people start their killings in December when it's cool? Now, about a week ago, I got mixed up in a case, and before it was over, I took so many salt tablets, I am now the best seasoned private detective in New York. It started last Tuesday morning about 11 o'clock in an apartment on the Upper East Side.
Ginny?
Yeah, genius.
No cracks.
No cracks. We're both waiting for old Gibson to turn us into the cops, and you say no cracks. This whole rotten mess is your fault.
Well, how did I know the old goat wouldn't fall for it?
Well, he didn't, so we better start packing.
What for?
Because I don't want to play hostess to a lot of little men in blue. I'm allergic to handcuffs.
Relax, will you? They won't find us.
They can trace me from the other apartment.
How? Gibson don't know your real name. Did you leave anything in the other place that will lead him here?
No. Cleaned out everything except the clothes. I didn't have time to move them.
I noticed you got away with a mink.
What do you want me to do, leave it behind?
No, we can hock it.
Hock it?
Yeah. You want to blow town? Takes cash. Cash I ain't got.
You're telling me.
Look, baby, if Gibson does go to the police, I'll have to hock the court so we can blow this joint, see?
All right. You go get rid of it and I'll start throwing some things into the suitcase.
Who's that?
How would I know? Maybe it's a landlady.
Oh, I forgot. The paint in this floor today.
Yeah, I saw the painters in 206. They'll probably start in this room in a couple of hours.
Okay. Duck that cord. I don't want the landlady to spot it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but... Gibson?
So you really are married, huh?
Who is it, Harv?
Hello, Virginia.
Mr. Gibson.
Yes, I waited around in front of the other apartment and followed you here. I wanted to be sure to send the police to the right place.
Look, Mr. Gibson, look.
You look, whatever your real name is. I don't like being blackmailed or threatened.
But please...
No, Virginia, my mind's made up. In a way, I'm sorry for you, but you didn't think about me. I'm past 60, and I'm tired of being made a fool.
Look, why don't you give her a break, Mr. Gibson? I'm not asking for
That's
me.
That's very noble of you. You should have thought about that a few hours ago when you accused me of making love to your wife. You're not really married. There is no need of displaying your indignation. There'll be plenty of time for that when the police arrive.
Harv?
Yeah. Come in here.
Hey, how dare you? Take your hands off me.
Look, you ain't calling nobody. You gonna listen to me?
You take your hands off me.
What are you gonna do, Harv?
I'm gonna change this old goat's mind about calling the cops.
You can't threaten me.
No.
Oh, you struck me.
How'd you guess?
Harv, take it easy. He's an old man.
Your concern is misplaced, my dear. I can take care of myself. What?
Why, you... Give me that cane.
I'll be glad to give it to you across your shoulders.
Give me that.
Harv, be careful.
Hit me with a cane, will you?
No, young...
I'll shut you up for good.
Harvey. Harvey. You idiot.
Huh?
You big, stupid idiot. Look what you've done.
All right, so what? No better next time. Throw some water on him. Well, did you hear me? Throw some water on him. What's wrong? Come on, Gibson. Come on, come on. Holy cow.
Is he?
Yeah, yeah.
Shut up. Shut up.
Gotta get him out of here.
Why'd you have to hit him with a cane? Now you're in trouble.
I'm in trouble. We're in trouble, baby. We. Stop that crying all over the place. Help me get him out of here.
How are we going to do it? It's broad daylight.
Yeah. Can't get him out of the building like this. We'll have to wait till the night.
We can't leave him in here.
Why not?
The painters.
What do you mean? What?
They'll be here in a little while.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now what, genius?
Shut up. Shut up, will you? I've got to think.
Diamond Detective Agency, murders financed while you wait.
Oh, you idiot.
Oh, is this Toodles Asher, the belle of Park Avenue?
Ah, this is Helen Asher, the girl that goes steady with the Diamond Detective Agency.
Ah, sounds like a fine organization. Are they reliable?
Very seldom.
Oh.
I'll tell you better as soon as I find out what I'm going to do tonight.
You're going to give your butler the evening off, and the Diamond Detective Agency is going to march through your front door single file and show you a shortcut to spend the bottle.
What time does all this begin?
How long will it take you to pucker?
About 2 seconds.
Well, I won't get there until 8. Don't hold it or you'll end up looking like a Yubangi.
You're terrible.
Yeah, but I'm pretty.
So is a baboon.
Oh, what you saying?
You won't be late, will you, Rick?
I don't know, after that last crack, I think I'd better start going steady with King Kong.
Rick.
No, I'm mad.
Ricky, I love you.
Only because I can hang by my tail and my fangs have that toothpaste smile.
I think you're the most wonderful man in the world.
Well?
I think you're the handsomest, the strongest, the smartest.
Well, all right. Now tell me something I don't already know.
Rick.
Bye, baby. See you at 8.
Bye.
A, I'm adorable. B, I'm so beautiful. C, I'm... Now, look, honey, I can't make it till 8 o'clock. I got a fan dancer who's a client. She wants to go out and trap an ostrich this afternoon.
Is this the Diamond Detective Agency?
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Is this Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, what's the matter? You sound like you're standing on a body.
Oh, Mr. Diamond, please, you've got to help me. I just don't know what to do.
Now, take it easy. Who is this? What's wrong?
I thought it moved.
What moved?
The man sitting in my chair.
Well, that happens now and then. Why shouldn't he?
Oh, well, because he's dead.
What?
Yes. I came home this afternoon from girls' camp, and when I unlocked my door and went in, I found this, corpse sitting on my Heppelwhite.
On your what?
Heppelwhite. I don't know how he could have gotten there.
Heppelwhite?
No, the dead man.
What about Heppelwhite? The guy this corpse was sitting on.
Oh, no, 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 no. That's a chair. Heppelwhite's an old antique chair.
Oh.
Oh, now I'm so confused.
Well, move over, honey. Now take it easy and give me one thing at a time. Who's the dead guy?
Well, I don't know. I never saw him before in my life.
Okay, now why haven't you called the police?
Well, I thought about that, but I'm a school teacher, Mr. Diamond, and I was afraid of the scandal. I read a lot of detective stories, and the first thing that came to my mind was calling a private eye.
private eye.
Mm-hmm. You had the biggest ad in the phone book, so naturally...
Naturally. Well, give me your name and address, and I'll be right over.
Oh, Esther Blodgett, 419 East 79th Street, apartment 108.
Okay, Esther. Now, don't let anyone in and don't touch anything.
Oh, I know that, silly. After the initial shock wore off, I found myself in complete control.
What's the matter?
I'm so nervous. I just lit a cigarette. It tasted so good, I offered one to the dead man.
Well, if he takes it, remember how you did it. I'll be right over. Heppelwhite. Oh, is Walt going to have fun with this?
Homicide, Sergeant Otis.
Hello, Otis. Let me talk to the lieutenant.
Diamond?
No, this is Black Beauty. I just did a mile in 112, and I want to report that I'd been doped.
Very funny.
I thought so. I didn't win the race, but I was the happiest horse on the track. Now, put the lieutenant on the phone.
Lieutenant Levinson.
Diamond, Walt.
I don't want any. You take your killings to another precinct.
Oh, now, don't be a sorehead. Giving you business is just my way of showing my friendship.
Can't we just be buddies at a distance? I'm getting tired of chasing corpses.
Well, grit your teeth and get over to 419 East 79th Street, apartment 108.
Homicide?
Yeah. A dame named Esther Blodgett reported it. She lives there.
Who's dead?
Well, I don't know. Oh, yeah. A guy named Heppelwhite.
Heppelwhite?
You ask Esther about it. She'll put you straight.
Are you coming over?
Yeah. Bye. As I went out of my office, I thought about Esther Blodgett and wondered how mad she would be when the police turned up. I had to call them whether she wanted a scandal or not, because homicide comes first in my book. I'm an ex-cop, and I still follow the rules. It's not a conscience. I just like staying in business. So when someone turns up with a killing, I always let Lieutenant Walt Levinson know about it. I grabbed a cab, and 20 minutes later, I was standing in Esther's apartment along with Walt, the dead man, and Heppelwhite.
Oh, you're a swell fella, you are.
What's the matter, Walt?
I've been going through that Heppelwhite routine for the last 10 minutes. I just found out it was a chair, that one right over there, the one that stiffs in.
Mr. Diamond, why did you call the police?
I thought you'd ask that.
Because that man's been murdered, Miss Blodgett. That's what good citizens do when they find a dead man in the apartment.
But the scandal? I'm a school teacher. What will my students' mommies and daddies think?
Honey, just confuse them with that Heppelwhite routine. What did you find out, Walt?
Not much. The coroner will be here in a few minutes.
Looks like someone gave him a pretty good beating. What's that all over his clothes?
Isn't that blood, Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, he's been bleeding all right. I mean that brown stuff, Walt. Looks like lint or something.
I noticed that, too. I don't know what it is. We'll have the lab analyze it.
Tell me, Esther, you said when you came in you unlocked the door.
Yes, that's right.
Are you sure it was locked?
Why, yes, it has a catch lock. Besides, you have to turn the key and then use the other hand to turn the knob.
Did you touch anything? Open any windows?
I touched nothing.
Well, there's a good one, Walt.
Yeah. A corpse sitting in a room with the door and all the windows locked. Do you always lock the windows when you go out, Miss Blodgett?
Well, I've been away for several weeks at a girls' camp.
Aren't you a little old for that sort of thing?
Oh, I've been counseling one of the teachers who goes along to take care of the young girls.
What do you think, Rick?
Well, he wasn't killed in this apartment.
No, no signs of a struggle.
There's only blood around the chair and on the body. He must have been carried in.
There would be blood trails on the floor.
Not if he was carried in something. You say you never saw this man before, Esther.
Never in my life.
Any identification in his wallet?
Yeah, name's Gibson. Leland Gibson. No money taken either, so that eliminates the robbery angle.
Any address?
Yeah, he's got an old driver's license. 12 East 64th Street. Pretty classy district.
Judging by his clothes, he was well fixed. Tailored. Good store.
As soon as the coroner arrives, I'm going to check this apartment building. Maybe somebody heard something or saw something.
Walt, let me check this 64th Street address for you.
This is a police job. Why do you want to check it?
Oh, because poor Miss Blodgett looks so unhappy.
I am, Mr. Diamond. I am very unhappy.
See, Walt?
So she's unhappy. If you want to check the place on your own, go ahead. But I'm sending some men over anyway.
Mr. Diamond, I like you.
Well, thank you, Esther.
No.
I want to hire you to catch the killer and free me from this awful policeman.
Awful policeman? Do you know how I got this way, Miss Blodgett?
Oh, I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Good for you, Esther.
I got this way because of this private detective.
Just call me Blue Eye.
Ever since he stopped working with me and left the force, I've gotten mixed up in more screwy cases than an alcoholic in a whiskey truck. There isn't one week that he doesn't turn up with one or two killings.
My, he gets excited, doesn't he, Mr. Diamond?
And in his spare time, he intimidates my sergeant.
Just call me Rick, dear.
I've taken enough bicarbonate in the last year to stop Vesuvius erupting. And if he doesn't give me a little peace and quiet, I'm going to end up solving a killing of my own.
Rick, my, that's a nice name.
How did you ever get to be a school teacher? You don't look the type.
Are you listening to me?
What makes me so different?
I've seen signs on highways that say it better than I can.
What are you two babbling about?
You mean the ones that say, danger, stop, look, and listen?
Well, that fits, but I was thinking about curves and soft shoulders.
Oh, no. Now you listen to me, Diamond. This is serious business. A man's been killed in soft shoulder, Miss Blodgett's apartment. If you want to take her on as a client, go ahead. But any questions from here on in will have to be gotten down at police headquarters.
You are taking me in, Captain?
Lieutenant. Yes, you'll have to come down for questioning.
Rick?
You go along with the big bad policeman, dear. I'll have you out in no time.
Well, all right, if you say so, but this has never happened to me before.
Oh, now, that's unfair. Walt, stop blubbering. Yes, Walt. What is it? Oh, you get out of here.
Oh.
Otis, where the devil is Otis?
I left Walt jumping up and down in front of Esther and the corpse and headed for 12 East 64th Street. It was an old brownstone in one of the wealthier districts. And when I rang the doorbell, I got another surprise.
Yes?
Yes. Don't tell me you're a school teacher.
I beg your pardon.
You forget it. It's the landmarks that threw me.
What do you want?
Oh, do you know a Mr. Leland Gibson?
Yes, he's my father. Now, just who are you?
Name's Diamond. I'm afraid I've got some bad news for you, Miss Gibson.
It's Father. Something's happened to Father.
May I come in?
Oh, I'm terribly sorry, yes. Now, please, what is it? What's happened to Dad?
Well, he's dead.
Oh, no. No.
Look, I know this is tough, but you've got to help me. The police will be here in a minute.
The police?
Yes, your father was murdered.
Oh, I knew something like this would happen.
You did? Well, tell me about it.
Well, I don't mean that I expected Dad to be...
Okay, now, just take your time. Cry it out.
I'm sorry. Have you a handkerchief?
Sure, here.
Thank you.
Now, think you can talk about it?
Dad left the house about 3 weeks ago and moved into a hotel.
Did you have a fight or something?
Oh, no, no. Everything was fine, but...
No, hang on.
Things couldn't have been better, and he was in wonderful spirits when he left.
No arguments, no hard feelings? He didn't leave mad?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Then, have you got any idea why he suddenly packed and moved into a hotel?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think it was a woman.
A woman?
Yes, he told me one day that he'd met someone he liked very much. The day after that, he moved to the hotel, but I never saw her, and he never said anything more about her.
Weren't you a little worried?
Naturally. Father isn't a young man anymore. I mean, wasn't.
Just one more question. What hotel did he move to?
It was the Adams on Madison Avenue. He used to go there 3 nights a week for dinner and a game of bridge before he decided to move in.
Well, thank you. Are you all alone?
Yes.
Got any friends you can call?
A few, I guess.
Well, call them. It's better not to be alone. And bawl your head off. It'll do some good.
I'll send you your handkerchief, Mr.
Diamond, Richard Diamond. It's in the book. For some reason, I've got a talent for leaving people emotionally disturbed. Walt hops around like a rabbit in a cabbage patch, and Otis always tears his hair out by the hands full. Miss Gibson was less active about it. She just tried to smile and shed enough grief to fill a tub. I grabbed another cab and headed for the Adams Hotel.
Yes, sir. Do you wish to register?
No, but I want to find out about someone who did 3 weeks ago.
Oh?
Yeah, oh. Mr. Leland Gibson.
Why, yes, he's staying at the hotel.
From now on, that's past tense.
Ah? I don't understand. He hasn't notified us that he's leaving.
Well, that might be a little difficult. If you'll run down to the morgue, I think you'll find out you're stuck with an empty room.
The morgue?
Yeah. Mr. Gibson has taken over one of the slabs, rent-free.
Oh, my goodness. What happened?
He's kind of dead. When did you last see him?
Early this morning. He left the hotel around 10.
Know where he was going?
Why, no.
Do you remember him having any visitors in the last 3 weeks? A girl, I mean.
No. Are you looking for a girl?
Yeah. Mr. Gibson's daughter seems to think he was running around with a woman since he moved into the hotel.
Oh.
You say that like you knew what I was talking about.
It was common gossip around the hotel.
What was?
Well, Mr. Gibson has been coming to the hotel for many years. He used to eat dinner here three nights a week and then play bridge with some of the hotel regulars. Now, about a month ago, we took on a new waitress.
Uh-huh.
Now, it was very obvious that Mr. Gibson was quite taken by her. So much so that he moved into the hotel and ate at her table every night.
Oh, what was her name?
Virginia Pelgrim. Quite good-looking. About 5'3", dark brunette, very well,
I'd like to see her.
That's impossible. She left the hotel about a week after Mr. Gibson arrived.
Oh, swell. Wasn't Mr. Gibson unhappy?
Oh, no. He was rather happy, in fact. I believe he wanted her to move so he could see her more often.
Now, what makes you say that?
Some of the things she said in the kitchen to the other girls.
Do you know where she might have moved?
No, but you might check with the flower shop. Mr. Gibson used to send flowers every day.
Well, thank you. Well, I wasn't sure just where I was going, but Virginia Pelgrim was my best lead, and maybe she could tie the Gibson murder up with a silk ribbon. I talked to the flower clerk, and he gave me the address that the flowers had been sent to every day. It was a nice apartment in the village, and the landlady stuck her nose out like she was trying to smell me instead of see who was calling.
Yes?
I hope that door doesn't slam shut sometime. You'll have a bloody nose for weeks.
What do you want?
Roll out an eye with that nose, and I'll show you my badge.
Aren't you cops ever polite to anyone?
Well, there's a face that goes with it. I'm looking for a girl, about 5'3", dark brunette.
No, no, in the wrong place.
Her name's Pelgrim.
Oh, she lives upstairs.
She does, huh? Is she in now?
No. Went out this morning. Hasn't come back.
And she probably won't. She have many visitors?
Only a couple. Men.
That figures. Ever see an elderly man, gray hair, about 60?
Sure, every day.
Know his name?
No.
You said she had a couple of visitors. Who else?
Another man. Younger. Kind of greasy. Only came around a few times. Old man was there this morning, had an argument.
Could you hear what they said?
I don't snoop.
Anyone else?
No.
Who paid her rent?
She did. Cash.
Mind if I take a look at her apartment?
Got a search warrant?
No.
Then you can't.
Okay, thanks. You've been charming. I left the old bat and headed back to the school teacher's apartment. If I was right, I'd seen setups like this before. But there was still the problem of finding out how Gibson was killed and how he got into a locked room. When I pulled up, I saw the wagon, complete with corpse and coroner, pulling away for the morgue. And when I went in and knocked on the door, I was certain that they'd forgotten one of the bodies.
Oh, it's you, Shamus.
Why, Otis. They're leaving without you.
Who is?
The hearse. Shouldn't you be lying down or something?
Now you stop that, Rick, and get in here.
Hello, Walt. What's new?
Well, Rick.
Well, Esther. Has Otis been using his rubber hose on you?
Oh, no, no, but I was getting lonesome. I'm glad you got back so soon.
You are.
As soon as you two stop rolling your eyes, maybe you can tell me what you found out, Mr. Diamond.
Yeah. Walt, send Otis down to the station for a search warrant. Then tell him to get over to 9 West 12th Street and see what he can find in the Miss Virginia Pelgrim's apartment.
Who's Virginia Pelgrim?
The only person who was mixed up with a murdered man. There was another man who used to see her, but I can't find out who he was.
All right. Otis, go get the warrant.
Yeah, Lieutenant. Thanks, Diamond.
A pleasure, Sergeant. What did you find out, Walt?
There were 11 people in the building at the time of the killing. None of them ever saw the guy before. Here's a list of the names. 3 people on this floor, 5 on the second, and 3 more on the third.
Have you talked to the landlady?
Certainly. She doesn't know any more about it than the rest.
What about that funny brown lint on the dead man's clothes?
We're checking on that right now. The lab said they'd call me.
Did the landlady say she had a key to this apartment?
Sure, sure, but she hasn't used it but once since Miss Blodgett was away at girls' camp.
When did she use it?
3 days ago, when she had let the painters in. And she says that the windows and door were definitely locked, because after she aired the paint smell out, she locked them herself.
Painter, huh?
Yes, and I've been looking. You know, I think they did a terrible job. Why, the kitchen alone...
Esther.
Yes, Rick?
Later, dear.
Yes, Rick.
Walt, did they paint the whole building?
They finished the second floor today. Oh, I'll get it, Miss Blodgett. Probably the lab.
Rick,
yeah?
Do you know who did it?
Yeah.
I got a hunch.
Oh.
I see.
You're wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Lab, Walt?
Yeah. That lint you spotted on the dead man's clothes is from the mat that they put under rugs.
Mm-hmm. Walt, you were on all the floors. Did one of the apartments have a rug missing?
They're all missing from the second floor. The tenants took them down to the basement when the painters moved in.
Any off this floor or the third?
No, just the second.
Well, your killers are on the second floor, Walt.
How do you figure?
Well, let's look at what we've got. Dead body in a locked room. Blood on body and floor around body, but nowhere else in the room. Carried in.
In a rug.
Bullseye.
Oh,
this is so exciting.
Esther.
Sorry.
Yeah, but how does a dame called Pelgrim figure into it? There's no Pelgrim listed in this building.
Well, there shouldn't be if I'm right. The dead man met Virginia Pelgrim while she was working as a waitress in his hotel. She gave him a pitch and he fell. He put her up in an apartment so he could see her more often.
So what?
I think she was working with another man. A man who was seen around her apartment by the landlady.
And how did the body get over here?
The guy the dame was working with probably lives here.
What about the motive?
Well, my guess is that Gibson was being blackmailed, and he followed the girl here. He was probably going to yell cops, so they killed him.
Okay, now what about the locked room? Explain that.
I let the landlady of this building explain it, Walt. Go ask her one question. Who had this apartment before Miss Blodgett?
Esther.
Oh, I'm sorry, Esther.
Well, I can tell you that. A Mr. and Mrs. Austin, they moved to a smaller apartment and let me have this one. It's more rent and they couldn't afford it, I expect. This is a better apartment, though. It has very...
Esther. What apartment did they take?
Oh, it's on the next floor, apartment 209.
According to this list of people who were on the second floor at the time of the killing, the Austins are the only couple. What did Mrs. Austin look like, Walt?
Oh, about 5'3", dark brunette, very, very well...
Oh, say no more. Come on, Walt.
May I come?
No, Esther. You stay here. I'll be back later and discuss the better features of your nice little apartment.
Yeah? I want to talk to you again, Mr. Austin.
Why? I told you everything I know.
Where's your wife?
In the back.
We're coming in.
Okay, you don't have to shove.
Who is it, Har?
Them cops again.
Well, hello, Virginia.
Do I know you?
Where's your rug, Mr. Austin?
What? It's down the basement.
Miss Pelgrim, how long have you been married to this man?
About 3... Hey, how'd you know
me? Shut up.
Know your name? You might as well tell the lieutenant everything. Why did you lie about knowing Mr. Gibson?
I didn't. I never saw him before in my life.
I didn't tell you the dead man's name was Gibson. How'd you know that?
Don't answer that.
Oh, shut up. You and your husband killed Mr. Gibson and carted him downstairs in a rug.
Why'd we do that?
Because the painters were on their way to paint your apartment. You had to get him out without being seen. You dumped him in Miss Blodgett's apartment because you knew she was out of town. And you used to live there, so you still had a key.
Harvey.
You shut up.
We've got enough to hold both of you on. The rug will have bloodstains on it. Get out of my way. Get out, Walt.
Why, Walt, you're so rough.
Yeah.
I didn't kill him. Harvey did. I didn't kill him.
Okay, okay. You can tell me all about it down at the station. Hey, where are you going?
Well, it's 6:30. I got a date.
What about Miss Blodgett? She's going to get lonesome again.
Yeah, she was born that way. I've got to see a girl who's going to hold a pretty interesting class of her own. Bye.
Those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago. What if they sound scratchy? The tunes really were catchy, and especially those that said, I love you so. I used to beg you over and over just to set the wedding day. To get you courtable, I'd bring my portable and melt your heart away. With all those old records, those old phonograph records, the ones we used to play so long ago.
All the ones about
records, those old,
all the ones about you,
records, the ones Kitten we used to play so long ago,
and the old wind-up Victrola, Barney Google was great,
the tunes,
all the songs
really
about Kate,
and especially Jada, Jada, those that said I love you so,
Yuckahoola, Hickey,
I used to beg you over and over, just to set the wedding day.
Meet me baby, on the back porch songs.
I'd bring my portable
songs and melt your heart away
with all those old.
They were wonderful letters.
Those old.
Play them over again. Records,
the ones we used to play so long ago.
I have flown. I have sailed. I have moved about this world of ours. And ever in search of the finest of its kind, we bring you the tops in Spine Chillers.
And you are listening to Radio Masterpieces on Valley 103.1, serving Duval, Carnation, and Redmond Ridge. The door is slowly closing for Radio Masterpieces, but be sure and tune in again next week from 9 to 10 p.m. to listen to more wonderful mysteries from the 1940s and 50s. This is Bruce Kaplan signing off. Radio Masterpieces is a Seattle Miracle Incorporated production.